Welcome, beloved.
From way up there, it looks so
this
small.
Is Light Alchemy here, Podcast, so Season 2. Pursuing the Empathy Utopia as a community. In this episode today with photographer and filmmaker Richard Louis-Saint, I'm trying something new by having a visual element that I share with my collaborator in this conversation. And so we will be describing things to you as though you can see them. And if you want to experience the visual portion, you can head over to patreon.com/LiorAlay, and that will be streaming for you live there. I hope you enjoy. Let me know if you like this style, and maybe we'll try it again. It was a lot of fun. Hello and welcome. I am so excited to be talking today with Richard Louis-Saint, a first-generation Haitian-American filmmaker and photographer from New York City. Growing up in Queens, he was exposed to a wide spectrum of the Caribbean diaspora, but was primarily influenced by Haitian and African-American culture. His work centers on people of color, especially those of Haitian descent, through portraiture, film, and documentaries. His work has been exhibited at the Brooklyn Museum, Wilmer Jennings Gallery at Kennebunkport, and the most recently at the Wyckoff House Museum. His films have screened at the Haiti Film Fest, New York Short Film Festival, and New York International Film Festival. Richard also holds an MFA in creative writing from Brooklyn College. Welcome. I'm so happy to have you. I know this is going to be kind of an unconventional episode today.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to check out your previous episodes. So what are they normally like?
Oh, even better. I love that. You have no frame of reference. So this gets to just take any shape that feels right. That's exciting. I can't stick to a format. I keep changing it up.
Mm-hmm.
So this is honestly kind of on brand.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
So for those listening, there is going to be a video component of our conversation today. Richard and I had the opportunity to create together last month when I was in New York City. So we're going to be doing some screen sharing and looking at visuals, talking about them, maybe even to them. I don't really know. We're going to fly by the seat of our pants today. So members of Patreon will get access to the video portion. And we'll just have to describe things, which will be a fun challenge.
Cool. As you were saying, like that our collaboration, I consider these collaborations more than anything, because a lot of my work I tend to, I used to be very much a, I still am like a very much a, almost like documentary in the way I shoot photos. But studio work is very different, and I've been forcing myself to take more control of what I'm trying to capture in studio, especially if I'm spending money to use it and to work with somebody, you know? Me working with you has been a process, I think, that really started years ago, but I think it was really last year I decided to like kind of just start creating again without any like specific goal in mind, except just to like make stuff I think that looks cool and is different from what I normally would photograph or work with people that I usually wouldn't normally photograph with. So I think your art shoot is kind of like the natural progression of that work. And I think it's looking at the editing, going through the photos and editing the work has been like, oh, okay, I think I'm finally figuring out like what I'm trying to get out of this particular project. And I guess I should describe this project as, I consider it like experiments in movement and lighting. So a lot of the work is for those who are not technically knowledgeable about some of the photography terms. Like a lot of the work has been like using colored lighting with strobe studio lighting and doing a lot of like slow shutter work, which is basically when you press the button on a camera, it opens up and to let light in and your whatever you're taking a picture of it, so that the camera can see it.
I'm obsessed with that technique. Like that gorgeous like drag. It makes me think of something that's like underwater or like through the skin of like an embryo or something. It puts like this dreamy film.
Yeah, exactly. So when you're, so you know, the whole idea of a picture is like you're freezing basically a moment in time. You're freezing whatever is coming through your camera's viewfinder or screen, because a lot of people use at least LCD screens now. So it's basically slow shutter is basically you're letting it stay open for much longer time. But what happens with that is that when you're moving, that's when blurring happens. The longer that the camera stays open, the shutter, the more things that get captured. And if you know how to use it, then you can create some like magic.
Yeah, if you know how to lose control intentionally, it can be really gorgeous. This gives me like a really amazing question that like I'm dying to know your opinion on. Do you feel, because we've come along, we look at the history of photography, right? And we went from things that weren't really capturing what the human eye could see or what was our experience. And then it evolved to being, you know, 35 millimeter film, like, oh my God, we got it almost perfect. It's like pretty much what we see and what the eye sees and the spectrum of light and detail and all of that. And then we went to digital cameras where we have like, now it's hyper-realism. And now you're actually seeing more than the, you know, the natural human eye can without this technological assistance. And when I think of like the way that your editing experiment with this, you know, shutter drag and these like techniques of sort of almost unrefining the digital image, pieces of its quote unquote perfection away so that it can, do you feel like that instinct to blur, obscure, or like mystify that hyper-realism is like a desire to see the image once again, like reflect what we see and experience or how our memory records things? You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
As far as doing this type of work?
Yeah, like, do you think, is that, like, if you had to look at it and guess what the subconscious desire is, like, why do we find this so gorgeous and, like, mesmerizing to have these mystical, like, dragging elements, right, where it's an imperfect capture of a moment, but in its imperfection, it is, like, even more interesting, more story, more, you know, response emotionally. Like, do you feel that that is a reflection of, like, our desire to, like, come back to reality, to our human experience of the way that we see and record memory rather than, like, that hyper-realistic, you know, almost as, like, a pushback to all of that imagery that is sort of fake?
I don't know. I think it's not so much pushing back. I think it's more like experiencing something that's different. Like, because like I started doing that type of experimentation in my nightlife photography like more than 10 years ago. Because when you're shooting parties, they have all these weird lighting or concerts. So if you do slow shutters, that with a flash, you get these like weird things. And that's when I discovered like, oh, this, what is this? So like that was kind of like I was purposely trying to make it look different than what you normally see in nightlife photography. And there are a few other people that were doing that type of technique on top of it. And you see, and there's younger photographers who do concert photography, and I see them doing it as well in some of the concerts. Because especially when you see like stage lighting, you see there's all these different colors that happen. So slow shutters, it just creates this like surreal kind of feeling on top of the performance aspect of the subjects. So I think that's where that came from. And I wanted to apply that to start to apply that more to like my portraiture work.
Yeah. So it's almost like, I like the word surreal that you chose, because it's like, rather than it being like trying to come back to reality, it's a way of almost like escaping or transcending reality, or creating or showing the feeling of that moment through like distorting it and allowing certain like colors or shapes to come through. Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah. So, and also for me, it's the whole idea of painting with photos that like that, you know, like there's light painting, which I've done some of, and I still need to get better at that. But like all those techniques are just a way of just kind of like creating like a painting with your photos without like relying strictly on Photoshop or post work. Like being able to do it in camera first is kind of like it's in the moment, because you're just, it's almost spontaneous, but it's also like a subconscious thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when I was working with you and other people, it's kind of like I'm figuring out like how you are presenting yourself in the camera and kind of like doing, it's like a dance.
Yeah, it was very responsive. Like I felt sort of that like push and pull. I loved how you segmented our time so that there was like different iterations and almost like peeling back the layers, and like each one was like more dynamic or had more depth. And I really enjoy that process. I think it made it really easy for me as a collaborator to like drop in.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you feel like that contrasts to the film work that you had done?
I feel with film work, it's still such a new thing for me. And I look at other people's work as filmmakers, and I see their voice, and film work, I'm still trying to figure out my voice and what techniques work. And it's a weird thing, because it's like I need to separate my visual artist brain from the director writer brain, because it's two different things. Because being a cinematographer and being a director are two very different things, because your director is managing the crew, the actors, and working with the cinematographer, and you have to kind of like figure out like you have to allow the cinematographer to do the visual work more than anything, even though you're still like dictating what you want it to look like. And, you know, it's still in a place where I'm still trying to figure out what that means in filmmaking. So that's my, all my filmmaking work is so, it's constantly shifting. And, you know, like I have a music video that I did with a friend of mine, with some friends of mine that were premiering in Brooklyn this Thursday. And that's that's me working as a cinematographer and director and editor at the same time. So.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to see that. That sounds really exciting. What is it called?
It's called Been Too Long. Been Too Soon, or is it? Yeah. But it's basically about, my friend Okai, he's basically singing about in Haitian Creole and English, and he's singing about, I guess, a lost love who reappears in his life. So the video is like, you see her showing up at his where he's working, and then like we have these bike scenes where we shot in a car with him riding through the streets of Brooklyn
and performing
the song. So it's a very fun thing. So that was like a new kind of challenge for me to like film in that manner.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love music videos. I'm not particularly good at long storytelling, like actual film, but I love it and I appreciate it. And I like creating small narratives where I have the ability to sort of be abstract and not have to use, I feel like music carries us through in ways that dialogue can be really like heavy and like cerebral. And I'm like, no, I don't want to talk about it. I just want to feel it. I just want you to enter the memory with me and do the thing. I don't want to have to talk about it. That's too much for me. But yeah, I'm so excited to see like all of these parts of you come together on this one project. We'll put that in the show notes when we have the link.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully, because Thursday we're having a party and then we'll probably release the clip. I don't think it's not up to me though. So.
Of course. Whenever this episode does air, I'm sure that it will be already live, so we'll be able to put that up for people to find real easy. Mm-hmm. What do you feel like is the film project that you worked on that you are the most proud of?
Oh my gosh. I want to say my first short film, because I did in 2016, and like it was basically, it was like I had to will myself to let me do something. Let me do a short film. It was experimental with some narrative elements, but like it's a whole dream sequence and a dance piece.
You had me at dream sequence and dance piece.
And the fact that I was able to pull all the elements together and we shot, I was able to do it that summer and got a warehouse space from a photographer to shoot the dream sequence and like with basically very little money. And the fact that, you know, it got into some film festivals and film nights. You know, so that I'd say that first one is because just to make that first step to do something that's like sort of scripted, but
yeah, that's awesome. I am like so impressed. I feel like there's so many opportunities to get discouraged along the way of like creating a project of that size and scale. And you were still able to like push through and complete it. So yeah.
I mean, not to say that I'm still going through that, because I was going to shoot my third film this year, but some things happened and I just needed to like take a pause on it. And that film was a bit more ambitious. It's like a little sci-fi and three characters, because, you know, my last film had two characters only.
So, okay. So yeah, more dynamic, a little bit, probably more challenging.
And more money.
Oh, well, yeah, that too.
So, yeah. So, yeah. I guess I can talk a little about the photo stuff.
Yeah. Do you want to start sharing your screen and we can sort of see your eye as director coming to life?
Yes. Okay. Where shall we? Okay. Let's see here. Which app should I use?
I'm excited. I don't know if you feel comfortable showing the before and afters for some of these, but I just really loved the way that your editing style, like getting to see the proofs and then see the final product, like the element of painting, like oh my God, what? Yes. Mm. Like it really comes through. I can see the painting happening, taking place in the editing. It like really comes out. Who is this artist?
So actually, I should switch to this. Wrong thing. Why is it? Hold on a second. I'm trying to find.
For those that are listening, we have just this gorgeous like man jumping into the air with, it looked like almost like lasers surrounding him. And that was a light painting photograph.
Yeah. So on the screen right now, I would say this was maybe 2015, 2016. And Ricky Stevens, the singer that I met performing, and she agreed to come to my job studio at the time. And I wanted to like start to experiment with light painting. And in that process, I was like, oh, I could do multiple exposures at the same time. So it's very lo-fi. Like I was using flashlight with like a gel covering the light.
That's what
It's
makes
great.
it that magenta.
Yes. But I follow people who do more, are a lot more versed in that. I think you do this type of work, really.
I mean, I've played around with it, but it doesn't, take away from the fact that this is absolutely stunning. For those listening, we have a triple exposure of three figures. She is sort of leaning to the right and has her arm extended, and she is nestled. It almost looks like a Russian nesting doll, like how there's multiple circular shapes of self, like surrounding one another. And I think my favorite detail of this photo is the connection between there's two figures on the left that are facing the right, and then there's one figure on the right that is facing the left, and they overlap at the wrist and at the toes. So it's like, oh, it's creating this really gorgeous like little swivel. Oh, I love it. And then her legs sort of fade off in the bottom right.
Yeah, but at this time I was still trying to figure out my lighting, so I did this for a few more times and then I kind of like paused on it.
Oh wow, the figure just standing there with the sphere of magenta swirling around them. I mean, this is gorgeous.
Yeah, and I'll share the link for this particular because I'm showing work from the experimental photography gallery on my website, so I can
Okay, yeah, we'll
provide the
definitely
direct link
put
for
that in
this
the show
work.
notes.
So this is all early days of doing this, and it was more to me it was more accidental, and I wasn't figuring out how to do this. So like this image here where it looks like it's ghostly images of she's this is a dancer that I know, amazing dancer, and like she's a great model too. Like the work I see her do now is blows my mind, but this is when I was still trying to figure out how to do this experimental work. But like I like this one. I consider it a happy accident because it's like almost three ghostly images of her that are trailing behind her. So
Yeah, there's three distinct faces, and I think what is really adding to it is the fact that the stripes on her skirt, the way that they bleed into the ghostly figures, is creating this like almost underwater feeling or like smoke feeling. Yeah, really cool.
yeah, but yeah, so these were like my early experiments in this type of like light painting and slow shutter work. So let's just actually go into here. Okay.
My God.
Yeah. So this what you were referring to later before this is Robinson, who's dancer choreographer from Haiti. I met him because his fiance is a friend of mine, and she's also a dancer and
Oh my
choreographer.
gosh.
And
Dream.
he's a very athletic dancer. And like
I mean,
I
he's easily 5 feet off the ground there.
yes. Because we had the space for it in the studio I was using at the time. And this was like December before COVID hit us. So I consider this my official return to doing this type of work.
I love it. You really came back with a explosion. This is such a powerful and energetic image.
Yeah. Then COVID happened, and then I was doing self-portraits for a few months.
Weren't we all?
I think this is my friend Luisa, who's a violinist and music artist from Colombia. This was December of last year. No, December was it? Yeah, December of last year, I finally decided to come back to doing this because I had come back to my job at the International Center of Photography, and which gave me access to using the studio space. And I was like, okay, let me try this work again, like, and since I could shoot in a dark room again. And so
This is
she agreed to
gorgeous.
do it. And this is when I started to, like, okay, I'm starting to figure out technical aspects of it and doing multiple exposures. And
The multiple exposure on top of the fact that her costuming is this really elaborate, like ivory, lace and ruffles and tiers and capped sleeves and high fluted collar, like it's so over the top and like feminine, and it's gorgeous. It looks like she's almost courting herself, the way that there's what, four figures here, and on the left there's figures sort of leaning back and opening and lifting the skirts, and then there's one in the center like commanding attention with her hands encapsulating her face, and then there's the one on the side, on the far side, that is like leaping into, it looks like she's jumping into the body of the figures on the left. I mean, that's really, this is like a whole love story.
I also, Louise says that's also a dancer, so
I can
she's very good with the
absolutely see
space.
that. This is like giving me flamenco daydreams right now.
Yeah, and actually, this is a wedding dress. I think she said it was her wedding dress that was passed on from a family member, I believe.
God.
So this is what she wore when she married her partner, who's also a musician. But yeah, so yeah, this is, I think, this is the official restart of this type of work. And yeah, this is another image of Luisa now with the same dress and playing her violin in.
Wow, absolutely haunting. I mean, she is like the three fates right now.
Yeah, so and then I was really proud of this shoot because this is a burlesque performer that I was supposed to shoot another burlesque performer, and she wasn't able to because I have a feeling it was a COVID situation that happened. So she recommended this person who I actually met before. And I got this, like, this when I started to, like, start to refine the work a bit.
Yeah, oh. I can see like a lot more control starting to come out around like the movements that the figure is making and the scope. This is giving me like, have you seen the costumes of like the angel with all the crazy wings, the like seven wings or whatever? That's like the feeling I get from this, you know, all the feather fans like exploding out of the central figure.
That's the multiple exposure work and the slow shutter work. This is when I started to, like, add the elements of color lighting to the pictures. So in this image, it's this material is this mismatched material is called.
It's not gauze, it's tulle, right?
So yes, the tulle. So yeah,
Cool.
tulle is like a kind of like mesh, really beautiful material, and you can get it in different colors. And she brought it to the shoot. So, like, for those, if I were to describe it, like, the tulle is like a mesh material, and this is like a white tulle material. So basically, any color lighting you add to it will kind of it'll pick it up really
Yeah,
well.
it's just soaking it up like a sponge.
So
That
yeah.
looks really lovely. Like I can see how you're layering those elements on top of each other.
Yeah. So she knows, because in this picture she's wearing a black bodysuit, and then the tulle is, like, just kind of like around her on the floor, and she has some of it on top of her head, and one arm is holding the under end of the tool, because it's a lot of material.
Yeah,
So
it looks like she's almost like sweeping it. Like it's such a powerful movement because she's standing like facing the camera, but twisting at the hips three quarters. And then, like, this, her right arm is straight out, just wiping across, like pulling that tool away from herself. It's giving me like so much strength and like self-protection, because her expression is so completely content, as if like it's nothing to her to just like wipe it away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, which in theory it's very light, but I think it takes up so much space. That's what I love about tool, is it's nice and light, but it takes up that visual space. So it gives this feeling of power, as if it's like a heavy, like snow or something, that she's just like, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I don't want to like stay too long on this, but another burlesque performer I know, Rain Supreme. This is more of like me playing with LED lights and her particular accessories, more fans, of course. And then like, you know, this is accented with purple lighting that I added on top of it. So
gorgeous. I love the like deep blue.
Yes. And
I had no idea that you had done all this work with fans before I brought my fans. I love it. I didn't know this was kind of on brand for you.
It's not. It's just, you know, a certain performer that fans are just a normal part of their repertoire. Yeah. So, but yeah. And then working, and this is like,
oh, Justine in the chainmail. Oh my God. Yeah. This is insane. I think this is one of the photographs that I was looking at when I was like, oh my God, I can't go to New York and not contact Richard. Like, this is too good.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, like, I think by this point with Justine, I got a pretty good idea of how to do this type of work and like figure out how to get stuff from person. And, you know, and Justine is not necessarily like a movement type of person, but I was able to get some pretty interesting work out of Justine. So.
Oh my God. Yeah. I love that bright magenta in contrast with all the tattoos. It's stunning.
Yes. All right. And I guess I'm going to switch over to what we did together.
Lightroom.
Yes, now we're in Lightroom. You said you want to see some of the before and afters.
Yeah, I think if you're comfortable sharing, like, you know, some of your favorites that you really felt like you did the most editing with, because I feel like they all are perfect examples of it.
Okay, gotcha. All right. But, you know, like for me, like I'm still a portraiture, like I like documenting stuff. So like, I always like to capture the person getting ready, and you were getting ready in this picture. And I was like, you were getting ready. I was like, oh my gosh, look at look at Lior's back. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And if you see the before and after, it's pretty cool to.
Yeah. I love how the black and white brought, like in the color version of the photo, I don't feel like all of the emphasis is on the tattoo, like the water bottle, because of its color, is drawing the eye away with that blue.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas once you made it black and white, and for those listening, I'm seated at a like light up vanity table, and it's taken from the back ends of my hair and of my back, and my back has a huge tattoo on it. One of the part of which that is showing is a little fox head looking up at the moon that has an Ouroboros around it. And then there's like a cosmic galaxy behind them. And I feel like what you did with the black and white is deepening those shadows and taking all the distraction away. So it was like nothing but like that quiet moment of concentration. I think I was doing like eyeliner or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can really feel like that documentary flavor coming through.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, some more preparation. I'm a sucker for a mirror.
I love how you chose this tiniest mirror to get the reflection of a face in.
I mean,
like, not the big mirror, not even the closer tiny mirror. You picked the mirror that's the furthest away, but was, like, right in the center. I really love this shot. And it's, like, framed perfectly so that the circular mirror is going right along the edge of the jawline. Like, mm-hmm. It's not cutting off anything of the face.
Yeah. Okay. And you definitely know that this is one of my favorites because it was, to me, it was like kind of accidental when when this happened. I was like, oh.
I still don't even know how you did this one. I'm on a black background with a white ceiling, and there is a red glowing version of my body down at the bottom of the frame. And in the center of the frame is my body bent completely backward and touching my toes. And it looks like floating in midair and levitating.
Yeah, and you were on a stool, which
I think this was was this right before I fell off?
probably yes.
Yeah, I completely fell backward and ate shit at this point of the shoot because the stool we were using was pretty tall and I didn't put sandbags on it or weight enough of my weight forward on the seat. So when I leaned all the way back, I totally tipped. We were great. It was fine.
Yeah.
I
So,
rolled on that.
yeah, I mean, for you and for those who may be listening or whatever, the thing with slow shutters that's cool is that if you're using a flash or a strobe lighting, you'll capture whatever is the initial image is what the strobe is, the main light is going to capture. And then if you move the camera in any direction, that's when you get the streaks of all the cool stuff happens after if you decide to move the camera in different directions when you're doing slow shutter work. And that's how we got this image to look like you were levitating or whatever, because I basically moved the camera straight down. I tilted the camera after I pressed the shutter button. I tilted the camera down and it created that effect of like it looked like you were floating.
Yeah, it freezes the first image and then allows more to come through as the camera is still moving. This one's really, really cool. I think this was one of the first edits that you sent me, and I was like, okay, the shoot's gonna be amazing. I don't even need to see any others to know that.
Yeah, I'm curious what was the before after.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's really just me like making it pop more.
Yeah, I mean, what I notice in the before and after is really the fingers. You don't get all of the, because you can't see so much of them, you don't get all of the emotional expression of the fingers being extended. And I'm really all about hands. I don't know if it's like a lesbian thing or what, but I like hands, and the emotionality of the expression in hands is so important. And now in the second one, it looks almost like, the ecstatic sort of expression you would see in like a Renaissance painting or something. Like I almost want this pink to turn into clouds. Yeah, it's I like how it's gotten sharper and really stands out.
Okay. I guess that I didn't. Oh, so here's something I had questions about, like
Yeah.
as far as posing and stuff like that. What, like with these images here, what were you trying? Was it just like a subconscious thing?
Okay.
Because
Great question. I love that. So I'll describe the image first, so folks know what they're seeing. I'm wearing a snow leopard print tank top. I have dark lipstick on, and I have both arms raised above my head. My face is turned to the right, and my left hand is wrapped around the front of my head, and then the right hand is coming all the way around and has a finger in the side of my mouth, like pulling the skin away. You can see in the shape of my body that both of my shoulders are completely rotated out. So I live with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. I don't have collagen in the same way that other people do. Normally, there's three things that hold you together. You have bones, muscles, and collagen or sinew, right? Ligaments. And mine is like taffy. Yours is like a rubber band. So when you move something, it snaps back. And mine just never snaps back. It's just so the most flexible that I've ever been is how flexible I am now. And I have to be careful not to increase that range of flexibility because all of my joints can already come out of their sockets. And they do a lot.
Oh,
And it's
wow.
pretty painful.
Okay.
Yeah, like If you can see my screen right now, you can see this left shoulder, right? Do you see that huge socket now? That's because I can literally just pull my shoulder right out.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's like that, like on all sides, my wrist, everything. So being somebody that comes apart really easily, it is interesting to me. Now, I don't, disclaimer, I don't recommend this if you have EDS or you're hypermobile. But one of the ways that I have found that I've been able to like reclaim my mobility and my range of motion and use the dislocations or the sublocations that happen as a form of creative play, rather than it just being this thing that causes me extreme pain and inconvenience galore. So my shoulders in particular are a troublesome joint. Right before we jumped on this podcast, I was doing exercises. I was doing my push-ups and doing like the band workout and all that, the things that I picked up with physical therapy over the years, because I have to do these things every single day or I'm in pain. And I'm in pain anyway, but like it gets much worse if I don't do these supportive things. So that pose in particular is allowing me to take both shoulders out of the socket. And it's in a way that actually feels quite comfortable to me. This is the weird thing about EDS is like, I'm not supposed to stretch, but stretching feels really, really good. Like, I don't know if it feels this good for everybody to stretch. I think some people it's painful or just uncomfortable and they're not really able to sink in and like surrender completely. But because of the way that my body is put together, having a full extension, like getting to give my body that 100% stretch, because it's like taboo for me and forbidden and like I don't do it often, it's this little moment of freedom because I'm doing it in a controlled place where I know I'm not gonna be able to do this forever. Like there's going to be a time where I can't afford to take this risk. I can't afford to make that shape and feel that delicious sensation of like my shoulder blades spreading open. Right now I can. Okay. So this pose is one that feels really good. And I like the tension and the contrast between like, this is an action that feels really good to me, but it looks terrifying. It looks like something is wrong, sort of like I shouldn't be able to do that, or like those hands don't belong to me because of the angles that they're coming in at. And the expression on the face is sort of like intense, like there's something happening, and I love allowing there to be the presence of like, this feels good for me and I know that it is dangerous. This feels good for me and I can only have so much of it. This, you know, it, like showing that push and pull of like, I want this thing and I love this thing, but also I'm afraid of it and I should be afraid of it. You know what I mean? Like that, like little bit of polarity happening, that repulsion and desire happening. So these series of images where I was sort of like wrestling with my own face, I like the idea of coming apart, because my body is coming apart and comes apart anyway. So that, like, I'm often doing things where I'm like pulling on my skin or like moving my, like pushing my rib cage or pushing different parts of my body like out of place. And it's all sort of like an expression of that sort of, yeah, okay,
like this that. Is
yes, fantastic. So this image is showing that like dreamy blue shutter drag over a close-up of my torso, like hips to shoulders. And the hips are displaced at opposite angles of the shoulders. And then the hands are also going one up, one down in a diagonal across the belly, pressing my skin so that you can see the texture of the skin. And this is another great example of like that tension that I'm creating within the body, both from like the contact I'm having with my own body through the hands, and also through like the contrast of, you know, shoulders to hips and top to bottom, like left to right. There's a lot of like push pull happening. And that feels really honest to me. I like to create images that are really honest. I think that is a way
Gotcha.
that, yeah, I'm trying to like discuss what is my reality or make that visible in a way.
Yeah, wow, that gives a lot of context to it, because part of me, like I'm sure some other people, because fingers, there's a kind of sensual aspect to fingers, especially in when you talk about fingers and lips and mouths. So that I for me, I saw some of that in that image, but I don't, but you describe it in a very different way, so that was interesting to
I
hear.
wouldn't say that it's without sensuality, right? Like the feeling of stretching is extremely sensual for me. It is something that like just sitting in a good stretch can genuinely create arousal in my body. I don't even have to be moving. It's just the sensation of stretching. So I think like the finger in the mouth and like the opening of the mouth is sort of like an expression of like this is what pleasure looks like for me. And in inviting a participation, like yes, it also hurts. Like for someone living with EDS, I don't really get to receive pleasure without being willing to experience pain too, because it's always present. So that is sort of like the lesson of my body is like you're not going to get away from pain, but you can also have pleasure.
Gotcha.
But I love hearing about
I guess this is the image that you liked.
I do love this one.
Yes. You want to describe it? You think
I'm
there
like,
be
how do I even describe it?
It's well, it's this one is an, another is a slow shutter image with you wearing this, is it like a polka dot scarf? Kind of
Yeah,
dark.
it looks almost like a veil here, though.
Yeah. And this is one of those ghostly slow shutter images where you see yourself in your pose, and there's also like a ghostly image of yourself next to that
It almost
particular
looks like it's
image.
rising out of the central figure, like a ghost soul smoke or something. And again, we have the presence of the open fingers and the polarity, like pushing from right hand to the left hip and left hand over to the right. Ooh, I love seeing the editing. Okay, so in the edits that you've made, the brightness is really stitching together the figure for me because the unedited version actually looks like my torso and my legs are not connected. Like from how I'm seeing it right now, it looks like that little shadow above the Palfit thong that I'm wearing. That little shadow of skin, that little slice of skin, the fact that it really pops in the edited version, like gives me a continuous line to see the figure, whereas like the unedited version, because I can't really see that sliver, it almost looks like a triple exposure or something where like one figure, two figure, three. So I like the continuity that's happening in the edited version.
Gotcha. Yeah, we got a lot out of that particular scarf in the shoot, so I must
We got
say.
a lot of polka dots in that shoot. I unexpectedly was really feeling polka dots that day.
Let me go into let's go into some of the double exposure stuff that I really enjoyed doing.
Oh, these are fantastic. Oh my God. I love the way that because you had me move so quickly between like the first frame and then the next frame, I didn't have time to think about what the story would be. I just had to move and create a relationship like as fast as possible between the two figures of self. And I noticed a theme like in this one, we have the figure to the bottom right side of the screen is on one knee, one leg extended, one hand clutching the heart and the other hand reaching up like longingly toward the other side, where we have a figure standing, arms outstretched behind them as if they were being pulled on, but they're still letting go. You know, they're like, they're facing forward and they're walking out of frame, even though this other figure is like desperately grasping on. Intense psychological themes here, I guess.
And, you know, and also like this was purposely, I lit it so that it was, you're basically lit more on one side than the other. So the shadow is more on the left of the images of the, of both of you. So yeah. Oh yeah, because you the image that's standing and facing away from you, yourself that's facing away from the your kneeling stuff is their faces in shadow.
Yeah. It's almost like they're leaving the realm, or they're leaving physically, and they're starting to like dematerialize, like right in front of this other figure's eyes.
Yeah.
Very tragic. Very tragic.
Yeah, and these were shot without any of the colored lighting, so it's very much like feels like a painting. These particular.
Yeah, it's giving me like that Rembrandt lighting.
Yeah. Let's see here. Okay, some slow shutter mixed with multiple exposure work here, I believe. And this has color lighting added to it. Pretty interesting. Let's see what I did here.
Nice bright blue. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. It's like super vivid. It looks like the figures are combined in this one. It's like two figures. Mm-hmm. So there's three legs, four arms, and the figure is sort of like lifting up from the wrists and then also like opening from the chest and the throat and then having the arms splayed backward. And I love, again, like there's that contrast of one person sort of rounding and caving over and one person like spreading and opening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And here's another one. I particularly like this one. This is another of the one we were talking about before.
This looks just, like mythological.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the first figure is like almost like they're asking for something. Like I could see this being like a tiny demigod, like going up to, you know, the mountain, the foot of the mountain, like crying out to Zeus or something, being like, why have you forsaken me? Like something, right? Like some kind of like, there's the tension in the neck muscle and like the opening, the lifting of the chin. And then the second figure that is slightly overlaid looks like they're tripping and falling or yeah, like the arms are splayed behind them and they're falling forward. So there's like no defense happening. There's no like, the figure's not gonna catch itself. It's just sort of tumbling lost through space.
Yeah, and I like that the scarf, because of the multiple exposure and the slow shutter, the scarf is like part of the scarf. The image on the left, it's almost created like a skin on top of your chest.
Yeah, it's just like a little stippling, a little texture.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. You know what it almost looks like because of the placement? It almost looks like a pixelation as if it was censored because it's over the chest area. I didn't even notice that until now. Mm-hmm.
And then we get into our green phase.
Oh my gosh, yes.
This is when we started. I switched. So part of the process with this project, this work has been like alternating with each outfit change. I try to switch out, you know, what type of colors we want to work with. And I asked you, like, what color do you want to work with now? And yeah, green was what we came upon. So, and this is death. It was a green fan, right?
Yeah, it was a green fan. Yeah, it had like almost like yellowy green tips and then a darker green base.
Yeah, so we went with green for a lot of these images. So this image, this is another, this is more of a slow shutter image. So like you see the trails of the movement of the fan because it's such a long, material. It's like a really long fan that you were using for these. For these.
Creating like this swirl effect, almost like a cleft, like a, what do they call that? The bass note at the beginning of a music score or music sheet music. Oh gosh, I don't read music, if that's not clear.
Oh, yeah, so the first set of these are like.
Oh yeah, I love, I apparently being on one leg, I'm a fan of, because almost all these images, I'm like, I will be a flamingo. I'm dancing on one leg. Here we are again.
yeah, it's, I was like, okay, this is so much,
you know,
so
that's
much
why
good
my
stuff.
Calves hurt after that. Now I know.
Yeah, so much good stuff in this.
Yeah, I love the iridescence of the fans and how the highlights are really crisp. And then there's all of this dreaminess happening. But when the drag is over the fan section, you really can't tell what is silk and what is the shutter drag. Mm-hmm. It like completely blends together. Yeah, I love it. These are very much, it feels like spell casting. It's feels like I'm trying to like mesmerize the viewer, and like there's almost this like spiral thing happening in a lot of the images, like spiraling around the center, which feels like a very feminine, like mythological, archetypal sort of visual.
Yeah. I think this is a favorite. I think we both like this one because it's the, you're still moving with the fans, but the fans are concealing you basically. And all we can see is a part of your face and your head in the image. And the foreground is the, you can see the fans movement happening in this one.
It just looks like a green ocean. Or fire or something. And then what really gets me is like the eyes, they're really intense, and the face is still partially obscured, but you get enough of the eyes to sort of fill in what the body language might be behind that, which I think is interesting.
Yeah. And you know, I did the animated GIF with these, so
yeah, that was really cool. I like seeing the movement, and I think it really adds to the experience to see it cycling through. I think this one was probably my favorite.
Yeah, me too. I was like, whew.
Yeah.
You looked amazing in this.
Thank shot. You. I felt amazing in this. I was like, sort of, so every time that I'm posing, I'm always storytelling. So what I loved about your like technique of, okay, this is a segment and this is a segment, and that, right, we changed the lighting, we changed the outfits, and I got to change the character. Mm-hmm. So when I brought the fans out, it, like I said, it was giving me this like dark feminine, like almost, you know, the energy that I get from watching a snake dance to someone, you know, playing the flute to it. Like that was sort of that, magnetism was coming through. And these, weirdly, I'm not stretching and experiencing like sensual pleasure, but visually these read more sensual to me because I was in a character of like smolder. Like that was the character, was like smolder and heat. And you know, this is a side profile in green with one fan sort of camouflaging the rump, and then another fan draped in front of the body. So it's covering the chest and just one eye. Yeah. And then I'm like looking like daggers out at the left side of the frame. Yeah, I loved that moment of just being like, wow, these fans make me feel like desirable. Like, I feel like I could put anybody on their knees right now, which I don't even know how to use fans. So I have no business feeling that way, but I was allowed to, you know, have that experience and play that out.
Oh my God.
On frame. And like, I'm obsessed with how it turned out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. These were fun to like refine the editing. Cause I've been using the AI functions on Photoshop and Lightroom to refine this type of stuff that I did. So
oh, amazing, because I have not gotten into any of the AI. Oh wow, I can see that like subtle shift, but it just looks really clean and crisp.
Yeah. And it's the, you know, I brought out the blacks more in the background.
Yeah. So. Oh, this one is magical. I love the movement here. It's so much more dramatic with that darkening.
Yeah. Exactly.
It sort of puts me almost in space, which is a place I like to be. I like to be in the, you know, in the no land.
And let's see here. More kind of like painting type of work, multiple exposures.
Triple exposure with the fans is so interesting too, because it's like less interaction between the figures and more blending because they take up so much space.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to do a lot of, there's a lot of mask work I was doing with the AI to bring out more of this.
Oh, this one was lovely. Okay, so in this one, we have two figures sitting back to back. One of them is looking over the right shoulder with the right leg out and a nice shiny rump front and center. And then the one on the left is sitting on their butt and sort of like fanning, looking up and reclining back. And they're joined at the head, which is so interesting because it almost looks like that they are leaning their heads back on each other's shoulders. Mm-hmm. Like there's so much, the interaction here is so perfectly lined up. You really can't make this up. I mean, you can't plan this shit. I love it.
Yeah, that was.
This one is so cool. What if, okay, if you had to describe like the story that's happening in this image, like what do you see or experience?
It's like your two cells, but it feels like one is in the background, kind of like guiding the self in the front, and because the version of you in the front is kind of looking up at them, and I don't know if they're just like, it looks like they're waiting for something, and the one in the back has the fan raised up, holding like just ready to like, arms raised and just ready to like, it almost feels like a puppet thing happening, but.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, I could totally see, like, initially I thought like puppet or like a, some kind of, you know, this hero is like in a battle and is like looking for a power up or something and like looks up, like when you mentioned like he's waiting for something, it made me think of like, oh, this person is about to like give them the power that they're looking for or something, because the way those arms are raised above and the lick of the edge of the fan, how bright it is, it looks like it's about to drop right into the bottom figure's hands, the way that they're like held out, almost like waiting expectantly.
Yeah. Okay.
So cool.
Let's see. And back to some more red, slow shutter stuff. And this was, I guess, your final like accessory that you wore.
I think it started as a scarf, but we made it into like a toga.
Yeah, this was pretty cool what you did with it.
Thank you. Yeah, I liked this one a lot. This was giving me like, you know, an evening in Sicily feeling of like you're in an art museum and everything is quiet and you're just feeling like the way that the hands now, the language mm-hmm. in the hands have changed. There's less pushing and pulling and there's more just like gentle holding, like the right hand, this is a standing figure pose.
Mm-hmm.
The left leg is extended on the toe and then the right hand is gently holding the left hip and sort of like over the womb space, and the other hand is on the chest, like gently resting just below the collarbone. And I feel like this is more of like a yin. We were sort of coming to a close and like recollecting. And I think the red is such an interesting choice because I usually think of red as such like an intense and like erotic primal color, but in these it feels more like romantic. Like it feels very like warm and almost, it gives me the feeling of burgundy, but it is red.
Yeah. But I would say in this particular image here, that might fit more the description that you're talking about.
Okay, yeah. In this last image, it's a figure standing on the left leg, raising the right leg as this red light comes up from the bottom of the frame, sort of shining just on the little arc of the one side of the body. And I think what really makes this red become primal for me is not the expression of, because the person is sort of, the figure is curling inward and it's almost a defensive, like protective movement. But then you have this cool shadow on the far side of the shoulder and this hand reaching around, like grasping toward the viewer. So there's this theme like perking back up again of like, oh, I should be afraid, or I should be resistant to this or worried about this in some way. But then the body is at the same time very curious and pursuing it, almost flirting with this flame or this intensity, whatever it is, and it's taking different shapes over the different images. But yeah, I see that that coming through in this one.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, this is the, at the very end of the shoot, we opened up the studio and let the sunlight come in. And like, it was perfect time of the day because that the sun that was coming in was just like, wow. And I purposely like blew out this last set of images. And like, this is when you weren't basically wearing any outfit for this one except yourself.
Yeah, I was in my favorite outfit. My birthday suit.
Yeah, so you know, I played around with black and white and color for a lot of these images.
I love how blown out these are. I love the dreamy, like drifting in and out of consciousness kind of feeling that they have. It feels almost nostalgic the way that you can tell, because I have light eyes, I have green eyes. And so It's hard for me to keep my eyes open when everything's really bright. And so the expression, the way that the light is like bouncing up and creating that super intense highlight in the eyes is like, it's everything for me right now. Yeah, and like a lot of gentle, like, watery gestures almost, like Hands are coming up above the head and touching palms and coming down, sweeping through the air gently, like moving across the body, like sort of winding down and coming back to a place of like dream, like whimsy.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Yeah.
This was really fun. I love going through these images with you all over again. It's like I get to relive how amazing of a shoot that was.
I'm going to stop the share now, I guess. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I missed. But there was an image that I did like, but it might not be any. I don't see it, though.
What do you feel like was the most like surprising or unexpected one for you capture?
Oh, well, there's the levitating one.
The levitation one, yeah.
That was like, oh. I think just like doing these close-ups of your, I guess we call this the vagina, tattoo is that?
Oh yeah, my cunty orchid. Yeah. The three quarter shots of it's from hips to like part of the face, like focusing in on the rib cage and the torso. I really loved these because you gave me the opportunity to play with something. Like I loved how gently you asked if that, I'm like offering this weird thing, and not a lot of photographers want to play with the fact that I have this super stretchy skin. They find it to look like kind of grotesque sometimes, and like I don't disagree, but I like it. And so it was really awesome to have the opportunity to be like playful and celebratory with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also I had this con I guess it's a conversation with myself, like just thinking about like re-examining like body images and what people consider, I guess, appealing, visually appealing in photographs. And I just wanted to like, if I'm gonna like do more work that might involve nudity or more stuff. Like I want to see all body shapes, all
Yeah.
different ages. I don't want to be the photographer who's shooting like young models and
Right.
I'm pushing 50. Like I want to explore people who are might be a little closer to my age or past their 20s and like just,
Yeah.
because I also, I follow a lot of women photographers and other people of other all types of genders and how they photograph people bodies and stuff like that. And I see people are trying to capture different things. I want, I want it to be normal for people to be comfortable with their stretch marks or
Yeah.
their if they have like, just a stomach, they're different sizes. I want to capture all that now and like make it be a normal thing to be a part of my work. So I don't want to be known as the
Totally.
cis male photographer who's only capturing like a certain type of people. So
Yeah, I think there's also something to be said about like the fact that when you work with real the realness of the body, right? Rather than it being something that you're avoiding, it becomes something you can lean into and cherish. And like the reason why I chose this thong, for example, for our shoot, Palfitts is this really amazing designer that does all of these cutouts in their designs. And what I love about the cutouts is it emphasizes this aspect of the body that, like, not many clothing designs will go for. You create a cutout like that, and what are you going to show? You're going to show stretch marks if you have them. And if you have a little extra plump, it's going to come through. So you're almost emphasizing the juiciness of the flesh and the way that it will like sort of pour out of and pursue and expand like any openings in fabric. And I'm a big fan of opulence. Like I love the luxuriousness of like having like a fleshy body. That's what I love about rope as well. Like as a shibari artist, I like the squish. I want to see it overflow. Like when I'm a lot of times touching the body, like in this frame where my hands are around the rib cage, I'm really digging and scooping under the rib cage and emphasizing the like the spaciousness of the body. And I love any time that images will lean into like the fact that we are visually as a culture a little uncomfortable with seeing, our visible stories. Like we're a little uncomfortable at seeing the fupa pudging through. We're a little uncomfortable at seeing stretch marks. Or I sometimes get people coming up to me on the beach asking if I'm a burn victim and what happened to me because of my stomach. And I'm like, my story is not, no one is entitled to anybody else's story. If you want to hear the story, you have to be willing to listen. That means look, that means witness. Honestly, when people are who they are. And I had the opportunity to like bear that in this shoot, and I really appreciate from a collaborator when you make space for like the soul of that creator to really come through. Like in this photo, for example, I'm standing and I'm grasping all of my stomach skin and pulling it out from the center of the navel. And it looks crazy. It looks like that should hurt, but it doesn't hurt. And I think it speaks to the feeling of like, when you become a mother, you give all of yourself away.
Yeah.
And there's a willingness to give and to continue giving, knowing you will never be thanked. Like, you know, and that, and having that reality be okay and deeply accepted.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, that deep acceptance is like so important. And I'm always really honored when people share their real bodies with me. That's why I started doing the masculinity study. And because yeah. I was like, wow, these photographers do such an amazing job of facilitating vulnerability for me. Like, I want to do that for them also. And like, be able to reflect back to them, like their own beauty and nuance and complexity and story and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, can you quickly just tell me a little bit about that particular project?
Oh,
I saw some of it on your website. So
yeah, definitely. I think I remember perhaps trying to entice you to be a part of it. So
I might do it. I've allowed only one other person to photograph me in a very vulnerable way. So
yeah,
might be time to try it again.
Even considering it, and no pressure, but I started the masculinity study, like I said, as a means of really reflecting this mirror back to me. I mean, I used to hate my body before I became a mother, which is crazy because I was ripped. I was an Olympic athlete. I was shredded. I had abs like it was nobody's business. Like, and I didn't want to be seen. I thought I was like disgusting and weird. And I was so ashamed. And then like, I started modeling after I had a baby, literally just because I wanted to make money and it was the most well-paid job people were offering me. And at the time I was like, I'm in college, I have a degree, I'm more than hot, I'm mad about this. But then I realized it was about so much more than that. And I was really fortunate to work with so many photographers who just wanted me to see what I really looked like, without the body dysmorphia, without the voice of shame and criticism. Like, they just wanted to show me the light that they could see. And they wouldn't show me the bad ones. They were so kind. They let me go through the process of being brave enough to get a bad photo, to get the good one, and to fall in love with my body again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I, at the time, was dealing with a lot of like, trauma. I was very angry at men. I was in a place of like, I couldn't trust or feel safe around any men. And I had a young son, and I was like, I'm raising America's most dangerous predator. I need to figure my shit out. I can't hate men, or I'm gonna raise a terrible man. Like, I have to find a way to redeem masculinity for me and to showcase and celebrate and like savor the moments of men holding space for me and me being safe and masculinity being something beautiful and creative and something that is just as beautiful and necessary an energy in the world as femininity. Like, I needed to rewrite that story and create a narrative where I could meet men I had never met before, sometimes even, because it started with photographers I knew and trusted. It started like that. And then as I would travel, I would screen people who wanted to volunteer for the project, and I would talk to them a little bit about, you know, why they wanted to do it. And then my only requirement was that they be authentic, that we shoot it on film, and that they be nude, or what nude was to them. So some people chose to like wear, you know, just their tool belt, or to wear a feminine pair of underwear because that was like how they felt the most exposed or naked. Like all different, anything that they felt comfortable. One guy was like, I don't want to be visible but I want to be in it. So we did him lying on a table with a tablecloth on top of him.
Interesting.
He's there, but he's not. It's still him feeling very visible and vulnerable because food was like an area of intense vulnerability for him. But it allowed me to like sit with men that were total strangers, to hear their story, to experience mutual vulnerability in a safe container, and then to capture it on film. It's 120 millimeter film I used for the project.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And I shoot it on a Hasselblad. Right. Yeah. Like, so we're getting closer to an honest, authentic image by like incorporating all those different elements. And ultimately I wanted to be able to show a different story. Like there's machismo and there's toxic masculinity. And yes, that is there. Mm-hmm. Yes. Rape culture is real. It's horrible. And there are soft men and there are strong men and there are smart men and there are sweet men and there are creative men and they are here and they still exist. And they feel just as suffocated by that toxic narrative as the women who are victims of it do. And I wanted it to be a way that like we could all commiserate over what misogyny did to us instead of it being like a men feeling like, oh, you know, everyone is against me and I'm not allowed to hit on women anymore. And all of the, you know, confusion that happens as we rewrite these social codes. Like, I just wanted a moment of, like, let me see you and let yourself be seen and participate in a new story where men get to be whatever they want. And they're not tied into just this like demonized version that I also ascribed to at one point. It was a way of like outsmarting my brain. I was like, I'm going to make the images I need to see. And it worked. I have since been able to fall in love with men. I have since been able to fall in love with my own masculinity and the masculinity in the men, you know, and women in my life. And the result is that I've witnessed my own experience with masculinity completely soften. I am able to connect with men now, whereas I used to be so defensive that they immediately, like, if we meet, right, and I act afraid of you, but you didn't even do nothing.
Yeah.
You're going to feel hurt. It's going to be hard for us to connect because every move you make, I'm paranoid. And you're like, fuck, I'm starting to take this personally. Like, this hurts. I really, can you stop being afraid of me? I was trying to hang out and play or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was kind of where it came from and what I hope to see it do. And hopefully, knock on wood, it will become a photo book.
Okay. That sounds good.
Hold myself to it. Now it's been said, so I have to do it.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So when, like, just hearing that, like, what does that bring up for you?
No, it's nice to hear that. It's good to hear the nuances of those particular type of subjects, because, you know, and like, you know, I you know that I have, there's women in my life and who are like, you know, they like to, they like to let us know that we, you know, that these, you know, they still love us and like, not, we're not, they don't see all of us as this one thing, and that, you know, we're, that we need to be allowed to be soft and vulnerable and, you know, and be whatever, whoever we are, whatever that may be, you know, because it's, because, you know, social media will make you feel like everything is one way or another when things are a bit more complicated and layered than that. So sometimes I have to remind myself to shut off all the voices that, because it, you know, like there's the whole term of like wars between genders and other people. It's like everybody's like just going at each other. And,
you know, I choose to opt out of war. I don't believe in wars. You know what? The war on drugs, canceled. War on gender, between genders, canceled. I don't, we're not doing it anymore. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
But... like, I think everybody's ready to stop fighting, guys. Let's commiserate. Let's find that. I think that's why creativity is so important.
Yeah, to, you know, to give all the different layers to things, yeah. It's important. So.
Have that whole conversation instead of just, you know, a slogan is not a dialogue. And so much of social media is reduced down to a slogan that I'm like, oh. But yes. That's why I love having the podcast as this extended container where we get to dive in and add as much nuance as we want. Thank you so much for doing this really creative, inventive version of an episode with me. This is mm-hmm. the first time I've done anything like this, and it was your idea. So
I'm yeah.
just the invitation.
Yeah. I've been pretty surprised by the positive feedback I've gotten from the work. Cause I guess I described this work I've been doing a bit more spicier than what people expect from me. Cause I consider it's very sexy since some of the images that I produce with people, but it's, you know, I'm exploring stuff, and the people I work with, they're trusting me, and, you know, I give them a lot of control over what gets put out there when we shoot. So that's, totally. That was part of the thing I needed to like make sure I do is that, you know, that the person is consenting and that they have a certain amount of control. Like, even though I own the images, they still have control over what I do with it also.
Yeah, I would totally describe this series as I've seen it to be like very sexy. But what I like about it is it has a grittiness to it insofar as like you can tell that these are not people performing the narrative of desirability. It's people genuinely experiencing desire, and not in an explicit, obvious way, mm-hmm. but in a unique, like sensual way that is true to them in their bodies in that moment. And what I think is really interesting is that we didn't plan, or even there was no even moment where you were like asking for sexiness. Like, it was never mm-hmm. spoken. It was never something that was required. I never felt pressured. I just felt invited to be creative and to just express whatever was real for me.
Yeah.
And you had this lovely soundscape happening that, you know, just sort of carried me through the rhythm of the interior emotions that I had just naturally at play. And it made it a really effortless experience.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, I just to let people know, like, the nudity happened organically because that's part yeah. of your personality. It wasn't like I was like,
no, even that. Yeah. I think for the most part, I kept being like, so I should get naked now. And you were like, well, let's see what else that you have. You brought some other stuff, right? Like, you really waited until the end,
yeah.
like, let me dive into that fully, which I appreciated because I think nudity is like sort of my safety space. It's like my go-to. And you were like, no, like, go ahead, like try like using some of the stuff. And that encouragement, I think, like, allowed me to be, because I do generally avoid really sexy posing when I am completely nude.
Yeah.
That's because that's a different type of shoot for me, a different headspace. And what ended up happening was this organic evolution of like, because I had the invitation to use some accessories, I was able to like express a little bit more like saucy stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that was really unique. I really love your work. I respect your methods. I love having you as a collaborator and a colleague. I feel a lot of gratitude.
Thank you. I feel it too. I'm just, yeah, it's still an ongoing process of doing this type of work.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I'll probably take a breather and dive into some other things that I've been avoiding. Because this has been a way for me to just kind of just shut off my brain and do some other thing.
We need that, right? That's super yeah. restful. Well, before we go, let everyone know where they can find you and support your work and see more of what you make.
Yeah. So the easiest way to find me, if you Google my name, I should be the first person that pops up. But it's Richard, and last name LOUISSAINT. And that's also my website, which is richardlewissaint.com. And that'll lead you to everything, including my video work and some of my like special projects that I've been doing as well. So, and that'll lead you also, you, and my IG is really simple. It's Haitian Rich, H-A-I-T-I-A-N, Rich, all one word. And that'll lead you to my main Instagram. But if you want to see the work that I've been doing with Lior and other people, there's a link to it in my profile on IG, and it's called Figures with Rich Lewis, and that'll lead you to the other, I guess, the spicier work.
Yeah, it's popping. Everyone should go check it out.
Yeah, so.
Amazing, yeah. Beautiful. Well, all those links will, of course, be available in the show notes for easy clicking. Thank you so much for being with us today, and can't wait to see this music video that you put out.
I'm probably going to walk out when they put it on Thursday. I'm going to step outside for a little while. But it's going to be in a place called Drink Lounge, which is on Franklin Avenue in Prospect Heights. So like people who know the area, that's like Prospect Heights, Crown Heights area. So Drink Lounge.
I wish I could go.
I know. So it's going to be at 7, it's supposed to start at 7 p.m. this coming Thursday. Oh yeah, wait, I don't know when you're gonna put this up, so.
Maybe I'll get it done by Thursday. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? I'm gonna give it a shot.
But it's gonna be this Thursday, which is November 3rd. Yes, in Brooklyn, New York. Amazing. Yeah.
I hope that it goes well. I know that it will. And it was a pleasure talking with you. Hopefully maybe we'll do it again.
Yeah.
Maybe after you decide to pose for the masculinity study, who knows?
I might. You know, I haven't been up that way.
Who promises? Of course. We're just dreaming. All right. Take care. All right.
Take care. Thank you. All right. Bye.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, please remember to subscribe and write us a review on whichever platform you listen to the podcast on. You can also connect with me through my free newsletter every month on my website, lioralay.com. The link is in the show notes for you. You can also subscribe on Patreon for recordings of all my past classes, behind the scenes photos and videos, and my entire archive from when I started shooting back in 2012. This is a body positive, nude positive space where we can talk about all things and investigate and have deeper discussions. I always reply to all my messages on there. I don't reply to as many on Instagram, but you can find me there too at Eccentric Earthling. If there are folks you think I should chat with that I haven't yet, feel free to send me suggestions as well. Until next time, be well. Remember, no one is quite like you. And until next time, stay brave, stay open.
When I say celestial, I mean extraterrestrial. I mean accepting the alien you've rejected in your own heart.